Our scripture reading today is from the fourth book of Matthew, where Jesus calls his first disciples and ministers to crowds of people. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. God's word for God's people.
Thanks be to God.
You may or may not know that that Christmas song we just sang, "People Look East," caused quite a building project in this church. You see, prior to 1998, people looked west in this sanctuary, and I think we sang that song, not we, but the people of this church, sang that song one year, and somebody must have said, "Got to turn the pews." So they did. And now people look east as they sing that song. Yeah. Will you pray with me? Awesome God, thank you so much for the strength that you give us in our weakness. And God, I thank you for these words that you have given me this week to share with these people. And God, as I share them, I pray there would be more and more of you in them and less of me. I pray that all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I've shared a story with you before, I'm sure, and I'm going to share it again. So not unlike most children that I have ever known in my life, as a kid, I was obsessed with Christmas. Obsessed with Christmas. And I'm sad to say, and this may come as a shock to some of you, but probably not to others, my obsession with Christmas had very little, if anything, to do with Jesus. I'm sorry, but we confess, right? It had almost everything to do with what was going to be under or beside the Christmas tree at 4 a.m. on December 25th. When my two brothers and one sister got up to make sure our parents were ready to go down and check that out, as if they didn't know. What we found there was almost always great, almost always great. In fact, we were usually so proficient at making sure that Santa knew what we wanted that we had a system. We had a system, and this system consisted of the Sears Wish Book, and dog-eared pages. We would dog-ear the pages that had the items that we wanted, and then each of the four of us had a designated color, and we would circle our items that were desired in that color. And it almost always worked. Almost. Well, one year, I suspect I was 18, 19. No, I'm just kidding. I was probably 10 or so. I had done all of that work, right? We had tore up the wish book, and we'd done all that work. At least I thought that I had done all that work. And we got up at the same ridiculous time of the night as we always did on that morning, night, whatever. We stormed into Mom and Dad's bedroom to make sure that they knew that it was time to go see if Santa had come yet. You see, we did that throughout the night. You know, like 2 a.m., is it okay if we go see if Santa came yet? And they would be like, "No, he hasn't been here yet." And so, you know, on and on through the night. So around 4 or so, we went in, and that was the final time, and we had finally broken them. And they said, "Okay." And then the young people among us will remember, will know something about this, at least mine will. They took their sweet time. I mean, they took their sweet time getting ready. They had to have everything right. The coffee had to be ready. The coffee had to be in a cup. All of that, right? They took their sweet time before we could finally go down those stairs. And when we did, this particular year, we got to the bottom of the stairs and I looked around the tree to find my area. And when I finally found my little area where my mom, where Santa had put all of the stuff, that actually was an accident. Had put all of the stuff for Jimmy, I realized that there must have been a mistake or some confusion or something, because the big item under the tree in Jimmy's area was a unicycle. And I thought, well, somebody must have messed up. And I tried to convince my little brother that he got a unicycle for Christmas and he wouldn't budge. And so I wondered to myself, why in the world is there a unicycle under the Christmas tree with my name on it? I don't even know how to ride a unicycle. I was such a brat. And I've given my mom, still a little bit of a brat, I continue to give my mom a hard time about that particular Christmas, and I have for a long, long time. And she maintains somehow that I must have asked Santa for a unicycle or there wouldn't have been one under the Christmas tree. But I maintain that there's no earthly reason why I should have ever wanted half a bicycle. And now I can laugh, of course, but I wonder if the ghost of Christmas past should happen to take me for a little trip down memory lane, if maybe that morning wouldn't be one of the stops. Because I'm sure that there are a number of life lessons that I can learn even now from the way that I reacted that day about this unicycle that I would have never asked for. My mom might listen to this online, I don't know. I'll have to call her and apologize. I suspect a lot of you know by now that we'll be letting Charles Dickens and his novel A Christmas Carol, and more specifically, the main character in the story, Ebenezer Scrooge, he will be leading us into Christmas this year. Pastor and author Matt Rawl, he wrote a book for churches to read and study together at Christmas time. It's called The Redemption of Scrooge. We're doing a study on that book on Monday nights at 7, unless you're a youth, and then we're doing a study on Wednesday nights at 7. You're welcome to join us. So Matt Rawl's hope, and my hope, is that Scrooge and his adventures with the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and yet to come will help us, all of us, to have a more meaningful Christmas this year. And ultimately, even more importantly than that, that it will help us understand and embrace the incredible redeeming power of the Savior that was born on the first Christmas. Amen? You see, we all need redemption. Do you know that? We all need redemption. We all need to be saved from our past sins and losses and the pain that goes along with all of those past sins and losses, all different kinds of losses. But first, I have to tell you that the whole unicycle story thing, it's just a story. It's just a story. It's really just a funny memory, but I don't claim it as a terrible event in my past that has had negative effects on my life ever since. I do have those things, though. I do have those things. I do have faults and losses and pain in my past that I do need to be saved from, that I do need to be redeemed from. It could be said that we all need to be saved from our pasts. That is why Jesus was born, church. That's why Jesus was born. That is why God came down, leaving his perfect heaven. That is why he chose to put on human flesh and dwell among the likes of us. It was for our redemption. It was because you and me needed to be redeemed. Amen? It's because we needed to be redeemed, and he is our redeemer. Church, Jesus is our redeemer, and we need to be redeemed. That's the connection between the gospel of Jesus Christ and what the ghost of Christmas past offered to Scrooge that night that Charles Dickens wrote about. Ebenezer Scrooge had losses and sins in his past that haunted him, right? They haunted him, especially at Christmas time, as it turns out. He made decisions in his past that affected the course of his life. He had terrible losses in his past that affected the course of his life. His mother and his sister, just to name two. And when we meet up with him, with Ebenezer Scrooge, he's lonely, isn't he? He's lonely, he's terribly lonely, and he's sad, and he's grumpy. And I would say, it's easy to say he was in need of redemption. And it just so happens that it was Christmas, right? Just so happens that it was Christmas. Christmas has a funny way of bringing the past into the present, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that? Christmas has a funny way of bringing the past into the present. Listen, I don't share the same story or past as Ebenezer Scrooge, but I do have a story and a past. I do have sins and bad decisions and very painful losses of various types behind me. All of those things affect me now, especially the losses, I think. And they seem to affect me more at Christmas time than any other time of the year. I don't know why. I just know that it's true. I just know that they do. The past comes back much easier this time of the year in my experience. I remember the good memories of the great people I had in my life, but who have gone on. The losses I've experienced seem to be more vivid in my memory this time of the year, and somehow so do my own shortcomings. I don't know why, I just know it's true. Does Christmas time ever affect you that way? Does it affect you that way? Are you more aware of the losses that you've experienced? The losses of various types, right? Not just death, but the loss of the ways that we remember life being. So are you more aware of your losses, the losses you've experienced and the mistakes that you've made when December rolls around? So often this time of the year, we find ourselves in conversations with friends and family that are focused on our lost loved ones. Have you noticed that? I guess maybe we miss them the most during this time of the year, or at least maybe we remember them more clearly this time of the year. And somehow, at Christmas time, we seem to be more aware of our own shortcomings, too. And isn't that what the ghost of Christmas past revealed to Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol? His past losses and shortcomings? He was shown on Christmas Eve night the mistakes he had made and the people that he had lost. I think Charles Dickens was onto something, wasn't he? Or maybe he just knew about life. Maybe he just knew about Christmas and what kinds of things it brings to the surface. I wonder if we don't all take a little journey like the one that Scrooge went on that Christmas. I wonder if we don't all take a little journey like that at Christmas time. I wonder if that's not part of the reason why we so easily remember our past this time of the year, including our faults and our losses. I've always noticed that about Christmas time, but I haven't really understood it. I haven't really understood why my past plays such a big role in my Christmases. It's always confused me, really. But this year, especially as I was preparing for this series and for this sermon in particular, I think I began to understand it a little better. You see, whether we make the connection all of the time or not, all of the things that I've been talking about this morning, the losses and the shortcomings and the pain from our past, all of those things, they work together in our lives to create our great need to be redeemed. You see what I mean? All of those things that bubble to the surface this time of the year, they create our need to be redeemed, to be saved from our past. And that is what Christmas is about. Do you see that? That's what Christmas is about. That is what we are reminded of at Christmas. That is why Jesus was born. That's why he was born, to redeem us from our past. Amen? Amen. To redeem us from our past. Christmas can be a very painful time when past mistakes and losses are often brought to mind in the midst of the cheer of the season, and that makes it even more difficult. But Jesus came to earth in order to redeem us. The Savior who was born and that we celebrate the birth of came to redeem us from this stuff that bubbles up this time of the year. This stuff, including all of the pain that comes from past faults and losses. Matt Rawl writes, Jesus knows our faults and our pasts and invites us to join him anyway. There's some good news, church. Jesus knows our past and our faults and our losses, and he invites us to follow him anyway. Jesus knows everything about us. Isn't that a scary thought? Jesus knows everything about us, and he loves us and came to redeem us anyway. I believe that. Do you believe it? I believe that with my whole heart. He knows everything about your past. He knows the faults and he knows the losses that still linger and hurt even now. He knows and he still loves you so much that he came to redeem you from all of it, to save you from all of it, your past losses and mistakes included. But listen, he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He also calls you to follow him. Amen? A bonus gift. The passage that we heard this morning isn't one that we typically associate with Christmas, and yet it can really help us understand why Christmas happened, why it happened, why Jesus was born, why God came down to be with us, and how much we really mean to him, how much every single one of us really means to him. And it can help us make the connection between our past and the redemption that this Savior offers us. You see, the apostles that Jesus called had a past too. Did you know it? They weren't perfect. They had a past. Some of them had a very rough past, full of losses and mistakes and experiences that had left them feeling sad and lonely and guilty. But this passage reminds us that despite their past, and I might even say because of their past, Jesus called them to follow him. He was born to redeem them, but he didn't stop there. He also called them to follow him in this life as he walked along that Sea of Galilee, right? That was different. That was different from what those people were used to. That was different. Those men he called that day would never in a million years have expected to be called by a regular rabbi, let alone the Messiah himself, right? They would have never thought that they were good enough and that their past was clean enough to be called by a regular rabbi. And here came the Messiah and called them. Those men had the kind of past that would have kept an opportunity like Jesus was giving them that day far out of their reach. I'm pretty sure they all knew in their hearts that their past had set the course for their future. And it didn't include redemption. And it didn't include an invitation to follow a rabbi like Jesus either. And yet Matthew reminds us that he walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, inviting those men with the crippling pasts to follow him. I love that. I love this because it reminds me that if their past didn't stop Jesus from loving them and redeeming them and calling them and walking alongside them in this life, my past won't stop him from doing all of that for me either. He could walk alongside the Sea of Galilee calling those men with those pasts full of mistakes and losses and pain from life. If he can redeem them, if he can love them, if he can walk with them through this life, he can offer them, if he can offer them hope, if he can comfort them in hard times, then I know that he can do the same thing for me. And that is a very good feeling. If they were that important to him, we are that important to him. You are that important to him. And I'm certain in my heart that he knows about my past. It's a little embarrassing to think about that sometimes, but I know that he knows my past. He knows all of it, and he calls me anyway. Does that feel good to you? Those of you who have a past? He calls us anyway, and he calls me despite all of that stuff, or maybe he calls me because of all of that stuff, and he offers me redemption anyway. And I can imagine him saying, "I know, Jim. I know there's loss and hurt and guilt back there. I know your past, and I know that sometimes it's worst of all this time of the year, but that's why I was born, Jim. That's why I was born. That's why I came. It was because you needed me to. It's because you needed redemption, and I came to offer it to you, and I will always be here with you, and I will always offer you peace and real hope, especially when life gets hard, like it does sometimes at Christmas. I'll be here with you. I was born for that." The redemption Jesus came to bring is for me, and it's for you too. And that redemption is for your past too. It's for the losses and the mistakes and the pain and the guilt. It's for all of it. It's for whatever this time of the year brings back. And he calls you like he called the disciples that day. And he wants you to experience his hope and his peace and his love and his joy, just like he wanted them to experience all of those things. He loves you like he loved them. Despite the difficulty of this season, the difficulty that this season brings for so many of us, Christmas, the celebration of his birth, is when we are reminded of all of that. Amen? It's when we can be reminded of all of that. He was born to bring peace, love, hope, and joy to a world that lacked those things. And listen, we live in that world now, and he is still here, and the offer is still good. And isn't that great news, church? It's still good, this offer. In his book, Matt Rawl points out that if there is redemption for Scrooge, by golly, there is redemption for us, right? If there's redemption for a man like Scrooge, which I know he's a fictional character, but you know one, don't you? And if there's redemption for him, there's redemption for us. I would say if there is redemption for fishermen, the fishermen like the ones Jesus called as he walked along the Sea of Galilee, then there is redemption for us. That's what Christmas is about. It's about our Savior being born to redeem even the likes of Ebenezer Scrooge and those ragtag disciples and you and me. That's Christmas. I know the past makes this time of the year hard for a lot of people, and I know it makes it hard for a lot of you sitting in this place today, but I wonder if it would help. I wonder if it would make Christmas better if we realized that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of the one who came to redeem our pasts, who came to save us from our past, to help us know how to face yesterday, today, and tomorrow with hope and with peace. What if we let Christmas be what Christmas really is? The celebration of the birth of Jesus, who came because we needed to be redeemed from our pasts and our present and our future. My prayer this morning and throughout this Christmas season is that we will work at that. That we'll work at it together, that we'll work at it alone. I pray that as our past comes back so clearly and maybe even so painfully for some of us, like it does this time of the year, that we will remember, that we will put our faith in, and that we will embrace the Christ who was born to redeem us from all of it. Let's pray together. Redeeming God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that Jesus was born for us. We thank you that we can remember him walking along that shore of the Sea of Galilee, calling people with pasts to follow him and to know of his redemption, his redeeming power for them. And God, I pray this morning that you would help all of us to know that you love us as much and that Jesus came to redeem us too, to save us from all that we remember in our past, all the mistakes, all the faults, all the losses, and all of the pain. So God, help us to look to him and to accept his gift of redemption. We pray all that in his precious name. Amen.